Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Nahido and Koyu Rim from 2125, our favorite K-drama that just ended, and I'm sad.
No spoilers, please. I haven't finished it, but
it is the gayest, straightest queerbait thing you've ever seen. That, I mean, at this point, it's not even like queerbait, it's just gay, and I don't care. Also, my mom watched it. Shout out to my mom. We watched it together. That's how we bond now. But yeah.
it's just like literally the phrase straight up gay was invented for them.
Yeah, it'd be like the perfect way to describe their relationship in this K-drama. Honestly, it's been my favorite thing. So y'all go watch it.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What's good? The sun is shining. I'm semi-happy, even though maybe I have plenty of reasons to be doubtful of that. But anyways, how are you?
It's a hot day today. Like, my little doggy did not want to continue the walk today. So she was like, I refuse to walk any further. Yeah, she was done. It's not even that hot, really. It's just like strong sun.
Yeah, I mean, the sun does feel different out there because y'all are like desert water. Like, it's a desert, right? I don't know. I don't understand the topography, geography.
Not where I am.
Yeah,
there's that's everything true, out that's here. True. You got mountains, you got desert, you got beach, you got bitch. You got everything.
Yeah, no, but I think like I saw somewhere that said like the topography or the geography of LA is that it is a desert, therefore, like, that's why it stays at a certain temperature year long versus like, I think where we used to live, where both of us used to also live, it was like a temperate forest, something like that. Like, if I'm remembering eighth grade environmental science right now.
I mean, I don't know exactly the, you know, I don't know. I'm not good at science, but I believe you on that forest shit, though, man. Like, the amount of, like, creatures that were in and around my neighborhood, yes, believable.
It's real out here. It's different. I've survived my third, fourth tornado warning.
God, this time, yeah, you guys are...
It's been every week, dude. There's a tornado, like, on the ground every week. I'm in my bathroom. You know, this last time I didn't even go in my bathroom. I was just like, whatever. It is what it is.
I would never go in my bathroom when I was still over there. I would just like look out the window like, ooh.
What? You were the lurker. I
love scary weather.
Hell no. When you hear the tornado sirens going off and then you see the wind blasting, you're like, maybe, yeah, I'm going to go in that bathroom.
I guess it's just like, I grew up with it. I was like in the crux of like this area that was so tornado heavy that I just no longer had fear for it because I just experienced it my whole life. And then I came to LA and now I'm scared shitless of earthquakes. Like, it's the scariest thing in the fucking world.
Dude, so scary, no. Dude, you know what? I don't ever want to experience an earthquake. If I do, I do, right? But like, I don't, like, fuck that. I wouldn't want to move to Mexico City or LA for those reasons. Like, I'm just like, nah, I ain't built like the people in Mexico City. They're different. They're different out there. I mean, a tornado? Yeah. Like, I mean, I've been so close to where tornadoes have hit lately that it's just kind of like paranoia on my end, because like I have nearly missed about like three tornadoes where I was supposed to be like driving in that, so it's been like close calls for me, like, so I take them hella serious after that. Like, it was my birthday one year and I almost was in one. It was, yeah, that was on the highway that like at the time that I was supposed to be there, I had made glow turn around, but I think at that year people died on that highway that we were supposed to be on literally miles away. Like, it was, yeah, it was a whole moment. So I take them very seriously. It's really scary for me. But earthquakes, I ain't built like that. Like, y'all can keep that. I'd rather take a tornado any day. But yeah
anyways, honestly, same,
the weather.
Yeah, anyways, that concludes our weather section of today.
Our weather report, as per usual. We always have to give
our
you
bi-coastal
My coaster mirror logical readings every episode. But oh yeah. My god, have you seen the trailer for Crush?
I saw it just a bit ago, yeah. Is it just a mini tiny little trailer, or did I not watch the full thing because it felt like it was 20 seconds?
I feel like maybe, I can't remember how long it was. I'm going to keep it real with you, but I do feel like it was longer than 20 seconds. And if y'all don't know what we're talking about a new queer movie with women loving women out on Hulu April 29th. And it's about like this high school crush. It's called Crush.
I'm very excited. Despite the controversy, remember that controversy around one of the leads?
Oh god, yes.
Yeah.
Y'all can go look that up in y'all's free time, because I think we have talked about it.
I'm sure we have. But I'm still excited about it, because it, like, you know, how often do we get this? Like, very infrequently, right?
Yeah, I think the only reason we are getting it is because Happiest Season did so well on Hulu, and everyone watched that. And I hope this is way better than that. It will be. It looks a lot cuter.
It's a low bar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not a hard thing to beat, y'all. Like, anything could probably... most things have beat Happiest Season. Although, you know, great cast and everything. Besides that, the writing on that was much, much to be, like, desired. Megan Mullally's going to be in it. She plays the mom. And that's interesting.
In Crush? Oh, that's cute. I like Megan Mullally a lot.
I watch her in anything. She's an icon.
Yeah, absolutely. What have you been watching lately?
Now, I don't know. I guess we can just kind of talk about it because we both watched it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell people. All we have to say right now is like, go fucking watch it soon as you fucking can. We're on the same page. Okay.
Yeah, cool. That's all I wanted to say. I was like, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing. Stop listening to us if you have free time.
Go book a ticket.
Buy a ticket.
While you're listening to
this. At a movie theater, please. It's so worth it. I saw it in IMAX. Go run right now to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. Oh my God. I was not.
It opens worldwide today when this episode comes out. So, like, it should be available if you're not in LA or New York. If you are in LA or New York, it was already out. So, I don't know what the fuck you're doing sitting on your ass not watching this movie. But yeah, it's out. So, book a ticket immediately.
Immediately. It has Michelle Yeoh in it. And if you don't know about Michelle Yeoh, then, I mean, you can do your Googles. Honestly, she isn't like. She's such a badass. Like. She can fight. She does ballet. Like, she's been on screen with Jackie Chan. With everyone. This lady is a living legend. And also her co-star was Short Round from Indiana Jones.
His career? Oh, yeah. But I was also thinking from, wasn't he in The Goonies?
Goonies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I know that face.
It's his voice, too. You're like, wait, his voice hasn't changed that much. Like, it's similar. No.
And he's so good in this too. Hashtag not sponsored. Like, definitely go watch this movie though, because we're gonna cover it.
They are not paying us, y'all. But like, oh my god, they don't have to. That shit is amazing. It's oddly enough made by the same person that made Swiss Army Man. Is that what it was called? Daniel Radcliffe.
I don't know.
With Daniel Radcliffe, where he was like a one man Swiss Army knife, like. It was ridiculous. Okay. You've seen trailers probably. But anyways, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing, buy a ticket, go to the movie theater, and go watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. It was free therapy, and that's where we'll stop. You don't need to know anything else besides that. Although, if you are going to see it with a family member, just make sure that they're, like, open and cool. You don't really want to go with a conservative family member. Don't
even, you know, just go with whoever. Take them and force them through this.
Force them to watch it. But just be prepared to be uncomfortable. Anyways.
When I went... I'm going to say this for the episode. I'm going to say this for the episode when we talk about it. But anyways. Okay. You know what I've been watching is a little show that nobody knows about called Astrid and Lily Save the World.
Shout out TikTok.
It's on. I actually heard about it through, like, you know, fat people Twitter.
All right.
Because it stars two girls who are fat, and like, fat leads are incredibly rare in the film and television world. So I was really excited to see it and for there to be like very queer elements to it. The you know, some of the dialogue is kind of cheesy. It's built very much like a CW show a little bit, but it's also giving, like, you know, like, what was another show that had, like, a monster of the week? Like, fucking Scooby-Doo. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know what I mean? Like, all the Charmed. All those kinds of, like, shows where, like, they defeat a monster every week. Like, it's that. It's that vibe. And it's super cute. And it's, like, about, like, fat girls having, like, the same experience as everybody else, like, in finding love and shit like that. So it's very cute. I don't think it's going to get renewed because no one's watching it. It's on Sci-Fi and it's actually hard to watch.
That's why. Yeah, I think it's just the network.
Not accessible unless you have access to that. So, which is why I probably am not going to cover it.
Not accessible unless you have access, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you have a way, you know, I found a way. And
there's a will, y'all. If there's a will, there's a way. If
there's a will, there is a way. I'm hoping that it'll go on to streaming somewhere. And more than anything, I'm hoping that it gets a second chance somehow. But I just don't see it. Really good, though. Or, like, good enough.
Good enough. Yeah, I mean, where are our standards? You know, like, we'll take anything. Like, the writing doesn't have to all be there as long as, like, you know, are you giving us a little bit of what we'd like, you know? Like, we'll take anything, which is sadly the truth.
It's not that bad.
No. It has to be. But if it's, you said it was better than a CW show. As long as it's better than Riverdale, then we're doing better great than out here.
Oh, God. Riverdale is just like a fan fiction at this point, like, of its own self.
I don't know who's writing. They should hire everyone, honestly, at this point. Just let anyone work there, please.
They literally have AUs of their own shit. Like, it's 100% fan fiction. Or so I hear. I don't actually watch it.
I've never seen an episode. I'm good.
Nice. Oh, congratulations to Ariana DeBose for winning the Supporting Actress Oscar. Very, very exciting shit. Like, I think she's literally the first Latina to get it since Rita Moreno, and the first Afro-Latina ever openly queer. Like, it's wild.
And it's for the same exact role that Rita Moreno won.
Isn't that crazy? I bet everyone's gonna want that role if it ever gets remade again, which it will, because the society is like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the newest version of West Side Story because of, like, all the allegations, and maybe I just want to watch it.
Maybe it's beautiful. I gave in and I watched it. It's obviously it's beautiful. The shots are incredibly impressive to anybody that knows what it's like to film one of these fucking things. Mm-hmm. I don't like musicals, and I liked it. What? I definitely think that's true. The story, I mean, don't expect anything revolutionary as far as story goes, but just visually fantastic, and obviously the talent in it is unmatched.
Have, like, you seen fantastic. The original?
No. Not in the last couple decades, no.
You haven't seen it? Honestly, I'd say I'm going to watch the new one, but the only reason I've been opposed to it is because, obviously, like, I love
Ansel Elgort and, ugh, like, all that shit. Yeah.
No. Not fans of those two people, but I am a giant fan of, like, old school West Side Story. I had, like, a giant poster. I had, like, the vinyl. Like, and when I was, like, 16, like, West Side Story was everything to me. Like, I love that musical. Like, I Feel Pretty. I used to, like, sing that on the bus to my best friend Denzel. Like, we just sing that to each other. That was a bop. But that's why I'm, like... In the
original, did they talk about anti-blackness?
I think the whole... I'm trying to think if they talked about anti-blackness or anti-Puerto Ricanness, which, I mean, honestly, same thing, because... You know,
yeah. Well, no, this one, they kind of, I will give them a little credit in this. They talk about anti-blackness in the Latinx community.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. No, which I don't think that was even touched.
Yeah. You know. So, I mean, unlike In the Heights, those cowards, but.
See, that's why I'm like, you know, In the Heights is not that high of a tier for me in comparison to West Side Story, even though it's so problematic and so wrong. But it did give us Rita Moreno in tan face. That's another thing there. That's a whole set of cookies I ain't ready to touch. But it's really good, and I really love the original. But I'll give this one a try eventually at some point. I don't know. Maybe when I'm done binge watching K-dramas, you know, like, because they're all pretty queer baity to me. Did you see that Cheryl Dunye directed an episode of Bridgerton?
Really?
Yeah, it made me want to watch.
Oh, this season?
The one episode that she directed.
I liked season two. I hate to say this, but I really liked season two of Bridgerton. Because, like, all the shit that I didn't like about season one, they fixed in season two, you know what I mean? Wow. Yeah, I was really into it. I didn't even know. So they have kind of, like, new leads. Like, they're not new characters. One of them is a new character, one of them is not. But, like, the two leads from last season aren't the leads anymore. And one of the leads in real life is queer, which I think is really cool, so...
Okay. I did see they had a actress from Sex Education.
Yeah.
And I think she's great. A lead.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But I
she's not queer in real life.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well,
that I know of. I was
hoping for that one, but it's fine. No, I am not anti-Bridgerton or anti-Shonda getting a bag, but I'm still not going to watch it. The only thing that piqued my interest...
By all means, like... Uh-huh. Yeah, season one was not my cup of tea. But for anybody that is a fan, like, season two is fantastic. Okay, well, obviously you guys are probably noticing that there's no Will Smith commentary. That's because you have to be a Patreon member to hear that. So head on over to patreon.com/CYC podcast if you want to hear us talk about that. Okay.
We're very loud and problematic and I don't know. I wouldn't say but wrong. Honest we just and are true. Opinionated. Yes. Yeah. We spoke our truth.
And staying in our lane to an extent. And yeah. So yeah. Anyways.
Yes.
And let's get started. I really like the stuff from this episode, so.
Yeah, this is gonna be like a fun one just because I've seen yours completely, beginning to end, and you've seen mine. So like I feel like there's a fair balance. We understand what we're watching and we're talking about. Today I'm going to be talking about the lovely Barhaido. It's a Indian Bollywood film, came out in 2022. And just a side note, most Bollywood movies are like 2 hours long. This one is 2 hours and 27 minutes long, and you can find it on Netflix. It's directed by Harshavardhan Kulkarni. I hope I said that right. I probably didn't. I apologize to you. He directed it, and he also did the screenplay along with two other writers, Suman Adhikari Ashat Gildial. I know I said that wrong, and I apologize. And I'm going to be saying a lot of names wrong, but y'all can check me in the comments. It's starring Rajkumar Rao. He plays Shardul Thakur. He is a closeted police officer, and he is fairly straight passing in the like Freddie Mercury way. I mean. He has an amazing mustache. Yeah. Like he's super buff. I'm like, I guess he's straight, but like to a queer person, it's like, oh, I can see how like you could also be a closeted person, be playing a closeted person at least. And his co-star, the other lead, the lovely, oh fuck, I'm gonna say this wrong, Bhumi Pednekar. She plays Sumi. And she is also a closeted, and what a stereotype, gym teacher.
I know.
I'm like, really? You chose like the most gay flag representation of all the gays. Like you chose a gym teacher lesbian and a police officer gay. Like, come on. Like we're literally like screaming rainbows right now. But anyways, it's about these two closeted queer Indian people who are getting pressured into marriage at this point in their lives. And they just so happen to meet and enter into a sham marriage. And then hilarity, drama, very wonderful writing ensues. I love this movie. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I was kind of shocked that it kept my attention for 2.5 hours. And I would recommend this to literally everyone to watch with their family. As, you know, as Indian society isn't really quite... I think this movie was made... Not in society, but, like, I think this movie was made to... To kind of include everyone, include the straight community. I think what they were trying to do is make it, you know, watchable for the people who maybe are not quite, I don't know, they're not quite as open-minded. Yeah, so they kind it's of made
the,
it
in the way that mm-hmm. sorry, in the no, way that good. You know, we could we see a lot of like media in Mexico like mm-hmm. over explain things and yes. like do a lot of things to sort of appeal to straightness in that yes. society. That's kind of what this is doing, right? Like they're just making it very palatable for people.
Correct. And I think they did a good job in that. I think they really kept everyone in mind and they did an excellent job at humanizing these two gay people in India and making their struggle a kind of universal struggle. They very much humanized both of their very like closeted, claustrophobic realities. And I want to know how you feel, if you liked it as well. I want to know what you thought before we get into it.
I liked it. I mean, like, the second that I saw it, I was like, oh my god, this is going to be a mess. I love it. and I was watching it, and one of the, not, like, in the first, like, chunk of the movie, I'm not going to say exactly what, but there's a musical scene, like, a very Bollywood yes. scene. With dancing and singing and shit, where I was like, oh no, this is gonna be a musical. I was upset. But it was not. And I was very excited about that. And I was surprised at, like, yeah, like they really like went out of their way to like really make it a queer film. Like this is a queer film about queer people. Mm-hmm. And like is very like all encompassing and like honest about the situation and that part of the part of India that they're at. And like everything, you know what I mean? It just felt like I was really dropped into these people's lives. So I enjoyed it quite a bit. I knew off the bat that there was going to be a big storyline about this guy being a police officer and like their police force is like police brutality is like encouraged.
It's crazy. Normalized.
Yeah. So it's a whole nother level. And like, I can see what's problematic about that, but like, I can see that the choice of him becoming a police officer, not only written in the script but like himself as a character in that person, is like being a police officer is this thing that like really he can hide behind yep. and that people can be like can respect him in a different way. So that's why I feel like that choice was made.
Yeah. They go into depth with these characters in a way I just didn't expect, kind of off the bat too, because not to ruin anything, spoiler alert though, Sumi's character, you kind of see the reality of being harassed as a lesbian woman in India and being harassed and threatened to be outed by straight men in this kind of very like violent like extortionist way, like and that's how these two characters meet, is because she was threatened. And because he was also a gay man, that was kind of the only way she was. I think, honestly, she got lucky and she was protected in that moment. But she was still kind of forced into this decision with this man. That part was kind of, like, sketchy as well. It was scary. Yeah, it was very scary the way she was being extorted by both men, honestly. Because she didn't really have much of a choice once Shakur's character kind of gave her the like proposed. Is that not no?
Once they had like an agreement. I guess I didn't 100%. It didn't feel super extortion-y. I think it felt like, you know. Like,
this is the best option.
Yeah, this would fix so many things for me. Like, and she related in a lot of ways. True. But yeah, I mean, yeah, she was put in a tough situation in which, in a way, her and this police officer could help each other out.
Yeah, they made the best choice that they had at that moment. And I mean, it sucks though, right? Like that people are forced. And that's the whole point, is that you're getting to see the reality of, you know, what does it mean to be closeted and married to someone who you're in this, like, they used to call them violet marriages. Not violent, violet, purple.
Violet.
Lilac marriage, where both persons are queer and they both do what they want to do, but then the pressure that their family is putting on them to, even once they're married, to immediately start having babies, that just felt, wow, like it's very intense. And as the only Mexican daughter You feel that. You're like, oh no, not the whole you need to have babies and get married bullshit. Like, and then it's a different society. It's a different way of life out there. So I cannot relate to that kind of pressure. Because over here, I just, you know, being American gives you so much privilege and that you can just be like, fuck off. But their society is built different. It is different. And, you know, I respect that. But at the same time, you see their very real struggle almost immediately. Like that after their, I would say their honeymoon scene where Shakur is like very drunk and kind of like confronting the realities of being a closeted queer man his entire life and like why it's led him up to this point that he's married a woman. He's very obviously unhappy and drunk, and there's just so much pain there. And as a formerly closeted person, like every other, well, like most queer people, not all, you kind of like very, you feel it very personal. You feel like he's acting his ass off as well. Like, this actor is amazing. Both of their performances actually are amazing. Bami and Rajkumar's performances are just so sensitive and so precise. But his, like, mm-hmm. breakdowns are just, like, on another level. But, oh, my God. He was doing a lot in that scene. Like, he carried.
Looking back, like, I think the one thing that maybe made me a lot more sympathetic towards the characters too is that they don't have what we had, which is this like group of found family that we can be mm-hmm. completely ourselves with, right?
Yep.
They could only really do that when they were with their partners and stuff like that, which puts a whole level of pressure on a relationship, right? So yeah, that was the one thing that I was just like, there's no, they don't have people they can trust. And I guess that would even probably force them even together even more, right? Because like you are in the same situation. Do you know how like rare that is, you know, that you can say that out loud?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a very interesting film. I was very, very surprised to get something like this. Very not surprised to see that like the PDA of course is going to be limited. Very a la K-drama, with our one K-drama that we really, really loved, but there we were never going to see lips touch, for example. It's just not going to happen. Not right now. Not in this millennia.
Yeah.
Or century.
We're not going to watch that while we're alive in our lifetime. But I thought what was really cool was when, and very cute, there's this very, like, cute, very fluffy, very real, because these two couples are like fighting with each other. They're showing queer people's fighting about like what they would be fighting about, queer people problems, you know, closeted problems. But there's this very, very cute love story between Sumi and her girlfriend Rimjim, and they meet at like, they meet with over poop, and it's fantastic. And their one scene where Sumi gave blood, and I was just like, word, something is happening here at the doctor's office, and sign me up. Like, I'm going to the doctor's office too.
Dude, I gotta donate as a blood. As a person with limited blood, I was like, damn, she's doing a lot right now to talk to this woman. It could not ever be me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I've given blood before, but I don't. I'm pretty good at it. I should sell my blood. I should be one of those people. I got a rare blood type, so I should get out here and
yeah,
and sell
you should my blood. Get out there, dude. Like, I'm not allowed, but yeah, you should do it.
I've done it before, but then I'm like, I kind of hate American healthcare in which, like, if I'm giving you the blood for free, you should do everything for free for that person. Like, I don't want anyone getting charged the phlebotomy. I don't want nobody to charge the person that needs my blood. I want that shit to be absolutely free. And I think that's what makes me upset, and that's why I don't do it. But anyways, that's another thing about American healthcare. But in this scene, these two characters, like, I don't know, their chemistry was like, wow, okay, I see you. And apparently, Rimjim is apparently, she used to be like a beauty pageant person in India. And I'm just like, okay, I know though, I can see it. Because you're obviously gorgeous, like everyone else in this movie, you're beautiful. And they have like this very realistic love story that, I mean, these women are arguing, these women are like happy. It gives you all the fluff, and of course you're never gonna see a kiss, so I mean, live your life, I guess.
But you still see so much affection.
There's so much. It's still very there. Like a
very like intimate, and like almost you see like the kind of intimacy that you never see in film, right?
Yeah, because
like it's always true. Boiled down to making out or doing the do.
Yeah, like, it's never just about softness and intimacy and tenderness, and like,
yeah,
you get all of that. It's amazing.
It's a whole other level. All right, like
it was beautiful, y'all. Like, and there is one scene at the very end that like, I don't know, as a closeted person, well, as an ex-closeted person, you really feel the very ending, which I would not ruin. And in that moment, you just, like, the very ending, you, like, I don't want to give it away, you guys, but it made me so happy. I felt maybe, like, I got teary-eyed at the very end, because it was so hopeful. And I think, like, again, we talk about this all the time, there need to be happy queer stories. Like, we need to be shown, like, queer love stories that don't end in violence. And that's kind of the only, like, spoiler I'll give to the ending, is that it's not going to end violently. It's going to be, like, beautiful and, like, give you hope. And so, like,
yes,
I loved it.
Exactly. Like, and beat so many expectations, because when we were going through our baby phase here in the Americas, we got shit like Brokeback Mountain, where it was very tragic. Mm. And like, this is their baby phase that they're getting, and it's very sweet and nice. So it's kind of like hopeful, yeah, in that way, and like wholesome.
Yeah, and it gives me a lot of hope for like mainstream culture. Like, hopefully there's like a shift over there soon. But it does, like, show you that maybe, you know, people are ready to have these conversations, that they are ready to, like, start acknowledging queer people as, oh, wow, as humans, as regular fucking humans. And I really wish the best for the world, and that they kind of, like, open up their views to where people are and be ready to meet them at least where they are, you know? People deserve to adopt and have family and get married, and we kind of forget that in the United States. Some of you Gen Zers, y'all would know, but us millennials, it was a different world. We definitely didn't think that gay marriage would ever be legalized. I never thought it would, and so like it was a very emotional day.
Yeah,
like 2015, that summer was
the
different.
Best year. That was the last good year.
I think it was the last good year. Is 2015? I think it was the last year I had like hope and like.
Last good year, like it was before Trump.
Yes,
it was before COVID.
Yes,
it was like it was just the last good year, like the last good year of Twitter before the fighting began, you know.
Oh, before all the incels found Twitter. Yeah, before the male podcasters and the incels found Twitter. It was just jokes. It was
before
just jokes.
Joe Rogan.
Or, oh god, no yeah. One really cared about what he was doing, except we remembered him from Fear Factor. That's about it. But it was a simpler time, you guys. But also, like, you know, you have to kind of acknowledge that although the U.S. is there, the rest of the world isn't. And you have to kind of look at your life and think how lucky and blessed you are. And, you know, things are shit here. Things are shit everywhere. But at least we have that. I don't know. That's kind of trash. but anyways, I mean, let me wrap this up, because I feel like I've been talking about it for a hot minute. At least my hot takes. There aren't many. This movie is really good. Watch this with everyone. Take your grandma, your abuela, your tios. Like, trust me, you're going to relate to the family dynamics. It's not much different. I was watching this and going, are like Southeast Asians, are y'all just like Mexicans, like, but over there? Like, Mexicans? But just, okay, we're the same.
Well, remember when white people went looking for India and then they found us and they're like, yeah, close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's exactly it. We're the Indians. I mean, that's, oh god, yeah, now yes, it's all making sense. Yeah,
it's all connecting.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's always connected, but I'm just like, now, oh god, yeah, they are Mexicans, we are Indians, it's all the same shit, you guys. Like, it's,
we all
the
love
same
seasoning.
It's okay. All the same.
What do you rate it?
I will only give it four and a half pan dulces. Because I'm sure there's some shit in there. There was a lot of, like, machismo and, like, even though Shakur was, you know, a gay man, he was obviously, like, still a tool and kind of a himbo, because there was a lot of him trying to, like, work through his sexism. And I like how honest that was, because that's not, they didn't even have to bring that up. That didn't have to be a thing.
They never admit that shit in, like, gay media in the U.S. Like, gay men are still men, and they're still sexist and assholes a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's not different. And so I like that they pointed that out, but at the same time, it was, like, kind of brushed off a little bit too, like, quickly. And maybe, I'm sure there was a lot of stuff in there that I didn't catch, not being Southeast Asian and Indian, like, you know, not knowing the scene. So, but I loved it. I thought it was amazing. It's not a perfect movie. It's not a perfect representation. I did want a kiss, of course. Like, at least a kiss, you know? But for both couples, you know, equality. But, and, you know, there was a lot of toxic masculinity and toxic queer relationship as well. You know, it wasn't just healthy. Shakur was also in a toxic relationship, and he was the one being toxic, you know? So, that's what I mean. Like, they never bring stuff like that up over here, but they did over there. And so I'm going to give it, I'm going to finally land at it, like, maybe 4.5 banluses, just because of the honesty. I loved it, but also, God, a reminder of the sexism. So, and no kiss. And that would have made it perfect. Just one kiss. But anyways, I watched much, much more platonic things that weren't platonic, but it was pretty good. What about you?
Yeah, I liked it a lot for what it is, right? Like, when we rate things, it's always, like, within context of what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be an Oscar masterpiece.
No.
But it's a really good movie for what, like, especially, it accomplished what it's meant to do.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I didn't like, obviously, was, like, oh, some of the police things and, like, some of the, you know, like, beating the shit out of people thing.
Yeah.
The other, you know, I... culturally, like, I can't super contextualize it, but, like, I'm having to write it off for, you know, reasons of me not living there. So
yeah,
other than that, it was great. So I would say, like, half a cafecito.
Amazing movie, now on Netflix, and if you have 2.5 hours, please go watch it and improve your life and expand your worldview. Like, it's great. And also, if you don't like Bollywood, there's literally only one, like, dance sequence. Although, honestly, I felt like there could have been, like, 8 more. But that's just my personal opinion.
It was good. It just felt like a music video.
Yeah. I mean, that's how most of them are, honestly. They're just, like, music videos. They're all bops, too.
Yeah.
So, oh, and you know what? Shout out to Chris on Twitter. Because Chris loves Bollywood films and put me on to a bunch of them. And I've only seen one so far because they are very long. But they're so good. So shout out Chris.
Would love to see, like, a true, like, so, like, I don't know why I'm saying this as a person that doesn't like musicals, but I would like to see if there is another queer film like this that is more Bollywood in that, like, there's more singing and dancing, you know.
I'm sure
I'd just be interested.
I'm sure maybe we can find one, but I don't know any on top of my mind.
yeah of course. But yeah, I mean, you know, there is this, like, new wave of content that reflects maybe what we've all been sort of learning over the past couple of years, because we've been sort of having a deep dive into our own minds through quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all going to realize that we're deeply flawed people. Like, there's a lot of that awakening happening, and it's reflecting itself in film. You know, ironically, we're not lonely in that, right? Like, none of us are lonely in our loneliness. But there's this film that came out called The Worst Person in the World, right? One of the best movies that I've seen in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just about that, right? It's about being flawed. And we talked about this earlier too, that Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's about flawed people. This is, like, a new wave in content that I'm so in love with. I love it so much because, well, I'll talk about a little bit why, but one of the reason I'm bringing this up is because of what I'm going to talk about today, which is a show called Eternally Confused and Eager for Love, which is about a man in his 20s who is eternally confused and eager for love.
And straight to the point.
Yeah, that's what it's about. It's an Indian comedy drama that's also on Netflix, created by Rahul Nair. He's a filmmaker who's only 29 years old, so this is kind of his first big breakout career moment, right? And he writes this character who is flawed than a motherfucker. Like, he pissed me the fuck off, and I kept watching. So this filmmaker, Raul, he's definitely leaning into his experience in India, his personal experience, because he mainly speaks English with everyone, including at work. And that's how it is, even though this show is based in India, has, like, vast majority Indian people in the show. I think, I honestly can't think of anybody that wasn't Indian on that show. But they all speak English, and that's his experience, because I guess, I don't know, they all speak English, but they all know Hindu, so yeah. That's just kind of, like, the vibe of the show. So it's mostly in English. There's no subtitles, really. There's also, like, a built-in norm of having a certain status. Oof. And you have to have a good job. His family and the people around him, they're pretty well off. You know, they're not struggling for money. Yeah. And they have what they refer to as the help. You know what I mean? They have somebody in their house. And everybody knows everyone. And if they don't, then they know somebody that knows them. It's like everybody's close knit, everybody knows everything, like chismosos up and down. So that's just, you know, so you have a general vibe of what this show is like. The main character of this show is named Ray, and he's this guy who doesn't have any self-confidence. He doesn't, like,
zero,
think very well of himself. He carries around this little keychain of a little wizard who he kind of has manifested as, like, his inner voice or, like, his inner critic. It's kind of like an inner monologue and kind of like his anxiety, but it's not telling him, like, don't do stuff because it's scary, because that's what anxiety does to you, right? Like, that's himself. He's doing that to himself. This little wizard is telling him, like, why are you being a little bitch? Go talk to that girl. You know what I mean? Like, he's the absolute opposite. It's like his inner self that wants to be someone, that wants to do something with his life, you know? It's like, yeah. So basically, to me, that says he has it in him to get everything that he wants in life, but he gets it in his own way because, I mean, I think he has anxiety. I think he's super fucking depressed.
Yep.
And really, really lonely. And it comes off as eternally confused. So that's that part of it. So Ray has it in his head that he's always been single and he's always been miserable. So those two things have to be correlated, right? It doesn't help that his parents are constantly on his case to, like, find a wife or a husband, because they're, you know, they're not your typical homophobic parents. They're like, whatever you want to do, baby. He's very much obsessed with women. But at the end of the day, I think his parents, they see their very depressed son, and they're like, I want to cure this loneliness. So that's why they're pressuring him. They think the same thing that he thinks, and maybe that's the reason that he thinks that he's depressed, because he's single. And so throughout these 8 episodes, it's not a long watch, you see him do exactly that. He keeps tackling the same issue over and over, and it's the wrong issue.
And
he's
failing.
He's not depressed because he's single. He's depressed because he's depressed. And, like,
correct.
Yeah, so we, for 8 episodes, we're going to have to put up with this, right? Because he then becomes very aggressive about dating. And I'm not going to, like, really spoil anything. I'm just kind of, like, kick it off a little bit about what this is kind of like. But his parents kind of set him up with a girl who he's immediately intimidated by because she's hot and nice. And he immediately bails on her, you know? And then he set up on another date, and he almost bails on her. Why? This is the part I'm talking about that pissed me off. He wants to bail on her because she's fat.
Oof, that part.
And he didn't know that. It was a blind date, right? And I've already said this, like, this is another story about flawed people, and yeah. But then he, like, you know, he talks to his, like, little inner monologue, and he's like, first of all, she's settling, not you.
Facts.
Which is fun, right? Like, to hear, to watch him, like, have a realization. But, so then he has this date with this girl. You know, the cycle's going to continue. He's going to fuck things up one way or another. this dude is like self-sabotaging, like to like the power of 10. I don't know, like he's, because he's fixing the wrong problem at the end of the day. Like he's completely not where he needs to be within himself. Yep. And he has like no love for himself, and also just in general just too much going on in his brain, right? So this isn't the last thing time that we're gonna see Ray do shitty things. From what I gathered, actually, Ray and like the people around him, they're kind of superstitious. You see this a little bit too on Badhaido. They have this like superstition, they probably don't call it that, but their own version of it, where you're not supposed to wish for bad things, because yeah. then they come true. It's kind of like bad manifestation. And like,
yeah,
I won't get into specifics because of spoilers, but he does this and it gets him into a jam, I guess you would say. And instead of dealing with those mistakes, he avoids, and he goes out to the club. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's a cycle. He's just going to keep like moving on and being like impulsive and doing all this shit because he thinks this next thing that he does is going to make him happy. So the good thing about stories like this where people are really flawed is that you get to see them grow, and you get to see them like fuck up and then fix shit and then fuck up again, and then like next time they attack things in a better way. You know, by the end of it, you're a little bit like, okay, Ray's kind of coming around. You know, like he has friends that he fucks over and that he then wants to make amends to, you know what I mean? Everybody needs to fucking grow, and that's kind of like this new wave, and that's what this show is kind of like. I don't know if you agree.
No, yeah, I think the show is also like I don't know if it's like talking about, you know, anxiety in the same way that like American shows are talking about anxiety, but I think it's a creative way to manifest someone's ego battling their anxiety all the time. And I think that's like interesting. It's like his full on like id fighting his anxiety, fighting his like depression. Like there's a lot happening with this character, and as much as he is deeply flawed and annoying and doing the wrong things and not listening and making mistakes often and the same mistakes often, it did get frustrating like towards the middle for me. But I guess, you know, you're meant to just ride along on his like battle against himself, really. He is self-sabotaging, and he is doing like creepy things that are wrong, and he's being a stupid man a lot of it, the time. But somehow these two queer girls are still going to watch the show because it's actually really good. Even though like yeah. he stands for like that guy that's just like, are you serious right now, bro?
But yeah, I think, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's for people that are single, but there's a little bit of a relatability to it where you're just like, I don't know, you're just like, what the fuck is going, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's getting together and like, you think you want one thing, but then you don't. There's just like, there's this complicated nature to like navigating life when you're very single in your 20s and like a certain pressure societally. So I think that's what kept me going, because I was just like, oh, this like... Relatable. This guy has depression. He's eternally single. Like, I get the vibes. So
no, it's so relatable, though. Like, even though he like stands for everything, we're like not on the surface, his like anxiety and mental illness are right there. It's like, oh no, but I relate to all of that. Like him not feeling worthy, all this depression, himself sabotaging. I'm just like, my man, it hurts to see your own truth sometimes. That's why you're like, damn, bro, I can't keep watching myself sometimes. But I mean, if you're okay with looking at the worst parts of yourself sometimes, you're gonna benefit from like growing from that and seeing someone else grow from that, so that maybe you don't have to make that same mistake. But I think that's so like, it's such an interesting take to have him literally talk to this like, for lack of a better word, like a little wizard dude, his little wizard yeah. dude keychain, you know, that he takes everywhere and is openly talking.
And it's hilarious.
It's great. It's also like frustrating, but it's great. And I don't know, I think that's an interesting way to like to actually be diverse and be interesting and be different. Like, as much as like we want these American shows to do that, I really feel like everyone else is doing that way better. telling these very different, interesting stories.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it diverse because every single person is Indian. So it's like really the opposite of diverse. It's kind of like one of those things, right, where like for an American audience, because this is in English and it's on Netflix, so it's very accessible to an American audience. And it's like, yeah, for us, it's like very different. But for people in India, they're just like, you know, they're seeing themselves. But yeah, and it's still like really cool to see it. It's very like it's a winner in its writing.
Yes.
100%, because it's like, you know, it's made for easy viewing and it's very funny.
Yeah, the only couple things that really get you is like, oh, the reality of the caste system. Oh, the reality of his actual wealth and his place in society. You're just like, oh, gross. Like, this motherfucker rich. And the nepotism has taken him far. And it's like open and just normal. And that's the part where you're like, this is all gross. I hate that someone's always working in this house. And I hate that it is like a color thing. Like, this is upsetting.
And it's definitely like you see it in Bad Hai Do too.
Yep.
Where they're like, oh, we're on the same cast, so we can get married. Will approve. Yeah. And it's like, what? Like, are you joking me right now?
Yeah.
Over there, like, at least they're honest with it, right? Like, here, it's like, you know, nobody ever says it, but like, people kind of stick to their general similar income.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because you're in a certain neighborhood, you're at a certain job, like, yeah, it's just, it kind of ends up that way, even though it's just not a rule, right? There's no rules, but it's like it ends up people self-segregating in that way.
Yeah, like that's semi-true. Yeah, I mean, it's true for all societies that's how they're gonna, like, you know, there, of course, not all people are like that, but generally they are.
Bridgerton, same. No,
I'm gonna agree with you just because I'm like, I just think everybody's rich in that show, so I'm gonna agree with you. Like, it's Emily Dickinson, but like,
I mean,
different.
It's not Emily Dickinson at all, completely different era. But I feel you.
Yeah, no, I mean, just for that, like, it's kind of like icky in that way, because it's like, oh great, so only rich people from these places get to tell their stories. Yay.
Yeah.
And, you know, the poor people that do, it's really like poverty porn. And we go to the other extreme, you know, like Slumdog Millionaire. And you're just like, that's really good. But also, yes, that's what it is. Yeah.
Right. It's also difficult to judge because, like, when we make films in America, it's like, yeah, like, you'll make, like, you get a lot of rich people storylines or wealthy people storylines. And if it's not, if it's about being low income, it's also kind of poverty porn. Like, I just think that, like, watching films from other countries and other cultures, you're just like, you know, it kind of opens your mind a little bit. You're just like, okay, like, yeah, they're doing these things, and then you're just like, wait, are we doing these things? You know, it's like, maybe we're all fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, we all are fun. Pretty fucked. It's true. It's facts. But it's still a really great show, and I am surprised that I end up binge watching the whole thing, because I initially only went in to watch about 3-4 episodes, and I ended the, I like could not stop watching. It's very quick
watch, super easy. You can be a little distracted easily, you know.
Yeah, it'll keep your keep you entertained. It'll keep you engaged. It's good stuff. I wouldn't give it like 5 pan dulces, but
no.
What would you give it? I'm really curious.
I think it's hard, right? Because when I see things like this, and the reason that I watched it because I thought it was like a good premise, just like, and the name of course caught me, so I just kind of threw it on, and like one of the first things that you see is this fat phobia thing, and I have a thing where I keep an eye out and kind of like keep track of things like that, like modern day fat phobia in these shows, and that's why I was just like, I'm instantly like engaged or whatever for the most wrong reasons, and it's hard to see. It's just hard to understand. Like, I can't decide if him being fatphobic or like the show being fatphobic is a purposeful thing because he's flawed, or like, was that supposed to be a part of the comedy, or was that supposed to, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I guess the intentions were a little too blurry for me.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to that, and the cast is like, there's a lot of problematic things about it that are on purpose, and then some that I think might not be. Yeah. So,
like,
for that reason,
the fat phobia the butt of the joke, or were they trying to be like actually make him the butt of the joke? Right. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Are they trying to show him as a bad person for thinking that way? Or are they trying to be like, you know, like, of course he's thinking that way. You know what I mean? Like, what is their intentions? And, like, I think for the most part, I fell on the part of, like, he's a bad person. And, they're like, that's on purpose in this show.
Yeah.
But a part of me thinks, like, I don't know.
Yeah, because that was the only, like, big girl he ever, like, even went on a date with. And it's like, okay, if this was more real normal, like, he'd date at least, like, two more, you know? Like, where are they?
But, like, it being TV, like, it just wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the fact that,
so
they,
I don't know, I'm just iffy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of, like, I don't know, I think what kind of kept me going and, like I said, made me lean on the side of, like, it was him being a shitty person in that moment on purpose, was that she turned out to be such a, like, lovely person that was not at all the butt of the joke, and, like, you know, ended up being, like, the one that was like, I don't want to date you. Spoiler alert. But, yeah, so for that reason, I'm like, okay, whatever, it's fine. So I'd say, like, half a cafecito just for that reason. But it's a very quick, fun binge. They left it on a cliffhanger. So, obviously, I hope it gets a season two.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to get a season two. Oh, but let me go ahead and give this 5 pan dulces. I really liked it. Not 5. Oh my god, no. 4 pan dulces.
I was like,
I really liked it. Not at a 5. No, it is not perfect. It is definitely 4. It wasn't gay. And yeah, the fat phobia and the caste system. And I mean, all that's normal part of society. But he did get really hard to watch for a while.
For them, yeah.
He was very, very hard to watch.
For a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah. No, but it was really good. Shocked. But anyways.
Right. Yeah. All right, well, let's do some Patreon shoutouts. These are the people that have stuck by us, even though we go on crazy hiatuses because of either mental health or getting COVID. Sorry about that, society.
Yeah, we're sorry, but we're not sorry. We were human. How many years have we been going?
Oh God, we're our 5th.
I don't even know.
Anniversary is coming up. Shit, I don't know. I'm like 2 months in a month. No, a month. I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, you know, I'm bad saying, like, y'all have to understand that we got on this train and never got off. So I don't even. That's the only way.
It's been almost 5 years, guys. Oh my
god.
God
damn. That's longer than
any relationship I've ever had.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. It's with me.
Don't be. It's fine.
Shout out to the Patreon people. We love y'all. Y'all stick through everything with us, our mental stuff, our emotional stuff, our illness. Y'all are ride or dies. We love y'all. Shout out to Mercedes. Love you. Love the name. Shout out to Joe. What's up, Joe? He's our brother as well. Shout out to Marisa. We love you. Shout out to Valerie. Was good. Shout out to Michelle. You know, my cousin has the same name, so I guess we're cousins, Michelle. I claim you know. Okay, too bad. Rosaura, always fucking fly on Instagram. I see your looks. Oh, goddess. Tier, god level dressing. Shout out to our other brother, Vettel. Say hi to my nephew. I love that he's a dinosaur now. Anyways, shout out to my wife, Glow. You're the best. You're the best forever. Love you. Shout out to Marimar. Was good, girl. I see you, Pokemon. You still on your Pokemon thing. I love that. I need to send you a plushie one day. You need to come up here and we can look for plushies together. Shout out to Alicia. I hope I said your name right.
Oh, Alicia's,
if not,
mine. I accidentally put
it on. Oh, okay. Well, shout out to Alicia on your Patreon, people. We love you. Thank you for also supporting.
Start me off. God, you know, some of my longest relationships are on this list. Just like, that's how long we've been on Patreon together. Of course, shout out to Alicia already. What is good? Shout out to Jasmine, Chingona Gang. Shout out to Sarah. Shout out to Margarita. Favi. Oh my god, I got to see Favi like a few weeks ago. It was so great. He came to visit.
Wow.
Anyways, baby Jojo Negoro, the ever elusive R, and Mireya, who always stands and always rocking our merch, which you guys can also buy in our link in bio.
Link in bio.
Shout out to Chris. Shout out to my ride or die best book TikToker ever, Noelle. And shout out to Raziel, who is just like the nicest kid ever and has like apparently been killing it with quepica. And it's fucking delicious. So I'm stoked for him and his family.
Yeah, go get some candy from Quepica Candy, y'all. I don't know what y'all doing. Go get some candy right now. Para que se enchilan, okay? Come on.
That doesn't include you, IBS gang.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I support from, I buy candy for other people, okay? I'll put y'all on, but I will not, I will not eat that for the life of me. It will murder me, but it's so good.
It is. It's delicious. All right, guys. Well, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you if you've left recent iTunes, like, reviews. Those are like so nice to see. They're pretty rare too, right? Like everybody forgets you can go rate 5 stars and like leave us a review, but it's so lovely to see them. So if you guys have time, and you can also rate us 5 stars on Spotify now. And Ooh. Of course we have our Patreon where we put out monthly episodes, and like apparently now there's probably like 4 years worth of episodes that you guys can listen to on our many hiatuses. So that's linked on our website, cabronasychinganas.com, or on our bios on our social profiles at CYC Podcast. So you guys can go check that out. And you can also follow up my personal at MYT Panda, my the Panda.
And I'm at Fried Papita on Twitter. Yay.
Follow us. Follow. And if you guys have any, I don't know, recommendations or thoughts, or just want to like say something, you know, we have an email, which is also on the description of this podcast. So hit us up, and hopefully you'll hear from us much sooner than usual. So thank you, guys.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.